You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to a new episode of Delirious Nomads, brought to you by Blacklight Media Records, a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, celebrity chef Chris Santos. I hate calling myself that. And underground metal connoisseur Matt Bacon, who loves being called that. This is your new favorite podcast for all things heavy metal, as well as breakdowns of your favorite combat sports and riffing on some food talk every week with very special guests from across the globe.
Hello and welcome to the Delirious Nomads podcast. I, Matt Bacon, am here today with no Chris Santos, who is on his honeymoon somewhere in California, I believe. All this to say, we are very excited today to have our dear friend Simon Roach from Raptors, who just completed a really cool UK tour, who just released their debut full length, Living Without Death's Permission. Lots going on in the Raptors camp. How are you, Simon?
I am awesome, my man. Thank you for having me back. It's good to be back.
Yeah, you've been on here like three times now. Jeez.
Yeah, it's the Raptors' return. This is where we love, back home.
I mean, it's the year of the Raptor, you know. Gotta take it for what it is. All this to say, so how was tour?
It was absolutely berserk. It has been absolutely insane. It was everything that we wanted and more. It surpassed all expectations of what we wanted there. The album release tour to be, and it was a roller coaster for sure. There was there's a lot of tales to come from it, and a lot of highs, not too many lows, but there's a whole lot of highs.
Because there was a lot of cities you've never been to before, or only been to one time, right?
Yeah, it was definitely like what felt like a far reaches, which we really wanted, obviously with the restrictions and just like the stop-start nature of the last couple of years, all of our like co-headline runs and all of our like weekenders and everything have been quite centralized to the Southwest and to London. And this time we just got to that. Now that we knew there was going to be no chances of cancellations and the whole restrictions are kind of dropped, we were like, let's go further afield. Let's go to some places we've never been. See what's cracking there. And we had our eyes opened big time. It was just a very humbling experience. Going to cities we'd never even visited, we never even traveled to as people, we didn't know anyone there. And having like Edinburgh, for example, was we've never been to Edinburgh. And at one point, the venue was at capacity. It was...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, utterly insane. We genuinely had no clue what we were getting into with that one. Like, we've got some strongholds where we've got, like, London, and we know people from Manchester because we've just got friendship groups, and we know we've got sects of fans in certain places. But Edinburgh and Newcastle were real kind of shots in the dark, like big cities. So we were like, let's try something new, let's see what's cracking. And to have that many people turn up was just absolutely insane.
Well, Newcastle is quite a special place.
I really like Newcastle. Everyone in Newcastle is up for a party. every single time.
That is an accurate depiction of my entire experience in Newcastle. It's just like my entire Newcastle experience has always been like, okay, I guess we're going to drink at 10 a.m. Okay, these haircuts are really unfortunate. Oh, Lord, this accent is impenetrable.
Oh, honestly, I love the Newcastle accent. It is so like fun.
Sure.
I can't imagine anyone being angry in a Geordie accent. It's just such a friendly, fun-loving accent. It took a hold as soon as we got out of the van. I was like, oh my life, this is gonna be awesome. And it was a party. It was an absolute party. It was definitely like a more intimate one. It was almost like a glorified stage show. So it was just like a basement room, and it was just rammed. It was just rammed in there, so we could, it was fun for all the senses. We could smell everyone in there. It was absolutely awesome. And the guy who stepped in to do sound, the original sound guy, had got COVID. So there was a bit of a last minute. We need someone to step in for sound. And he just got off tour with Five Finger Death Punch.
Okay.
And he came in and he just made this basement room sound absolutely awesome. And it was just like a thunderous, thunderous party. And then we drank the night away with him and, yeah, had a lot of stories to tell from that.
Good. So the moment has kind of arrived, it feels like.
I'll always say everything is always work in progress, but it was nice to kind of see the wheels are turning. It felt great to be at it. Like, there were people in every single city singing along who had taken the time out to listen to the album and to already know the lyrics to it, even though it was like a month and a half old. It was a very humbling experience.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great. And yeah, a massive shout out. There was in the Birmingham date, it was a guy it was his 17th birthday, and his sister had bought him a plane ticket for a day trip from Dresden in Germany to come over to the Birmingham show. For literally, they arrived in the afternoon, came to the show, came and hung out, watched the show, went back to pick up their stuff from their Airbnb, and then had to fly back all within about 12 hours. So that was some mind-blowingly good stuff, yeah, coming from it. And
that's really cool that someone would just like want to do that for your fucking band.
Yeah, honestly, it was like that we'll always approach every show and throw everything in the kitchen sink at it. But that made us just want to just go doubly in Birmingham for that kind of effort, that kind of passion, and that love for music is just, it makes our world spin around. So the fact that, and they weren't even fazed by it. They were like, yeah, of course we would. We were like, this is crazy. This is actual crazy. Awesome.
Yeah, right?
Like, and we were absolutely loving it. Like, we signed a drum skin and gave it to them to go away with, and we gave them a doodle and they were just like, they were in tears, they were crying from having like such a good time. And we were like, that's literally the least we can do for that kind of dedication. So it was super, super nice to experience. And it's, yeah, very humbling to know that this music that we wrote in this house while we were cooped up in lockdown is reaching people all over the world. So it's a great feeling.
Yeah, that's very surreal to be like, wow, you care this much about our thing.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy thing, because when we're writing, we write very... It was very insular kind of situation, and we knew we had riffs, and we were throwing it all into the pot. But personally, like, we're people like Leon and like Lena, who came over from Germany, who connected with the songs. Like, I couldn't ever plan for that. It was like the songs that we wrote were so personal to me that, like, obviously I'd hope that it would resonate with people, but I couldn't guarantee that. It was just, I have to say what's on my mind.
Of course.
And the fact that it had resonated with those guys and as we've been told in all the cities, it's such a gratifying, validating kind of feeling.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like you said, this tour kind of felt like an arrival, right? So what other moments made it feel like an arrival beyond just someone coming from Dresden and these packed out shows in Newcastle and Edinburgh? What was there anything else that sort of made you go like, oh shit, this didn't happen before?
Yeah, I guess it was like, we've obviously played a lot of support shows and we have played a lot of festivals like lower down the lineup, and we always try to be that impact and to meet people where they're at, and it's always nice to kind of shock people to see a reaction when you're like, ah, now I got you, now I've got your attention. Mm-hmm. It's always a good feeling. But when there's people that are kind of already anticipating that, it makes our lives kind of, is it, our job is easy when people are already coming to the show and they were anticipating mayhem. That makes the hype before we go on so much more like visceral, because it can kind of be like when you've been on support shows, you're like, you never know what you're gonna get, and you might get people that are gonna stand there and be like, impress me boy, or there might people just might not dig it and be at the back. But the fact that with this, our first real proper headline run, there were people kind of just like champing at the bit. And that was like a whole brand new kind of really cool feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of tied into that, I had a really interesting conversation about this with Nicolas Cage Fighter. What do you do to be a good frontman? I actually thought of you recently. I saw Bring Me the Horizon, who's not really a band I'm normally interested in, but who I know you love. And I partially watched them because of you. And they were just so magnetic live that I couldn't go away, you know? So like, what do you do to kind of harness that live magic as a frontman?
I genuinely think there's no clear preparation you can do. I think all you can really do is know your songs, know that you're going to perform the shit out of them. And then it's a matter of reading the room, because it's not always the same. No rooms are the same. And I think if you try too hard to be one type of person, like this is what I say at this point, and after this song I'll say this, I think people are emotionally intelligent, people can tell when something's real, and I think you've got to be in the moment and be aware of your surroundings, because part and parcel of being the front man is being the entertainment and kind of conducting a night. And sometimes things don't go to plan, and sometimes you can feel people's energy. So sometimes, like, I'm not afraid to just make a night funny. Like, it's not always just about like trying to G someone up, like trying to cause a riot, or like trying to conduct, like getting everyone to mosh at certain points. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that is the energy that you're feeling, but sometimes it might just be cracking a joke. Sometimes it might just be feeling that it's the right time to tell a story, the story of a song. Or sometimes it's have a beer with whoever's in the front row, or jump on top of whoever's in the front row. It really is reading each room as it comes.
No, that makes sense. That's, I think, a very valid and valuable take. They definitely feel like some people don't have that level of emotional intelligence and kind of try to run through a formula each time. And I don't know if, while I do think that sometimes it helps to have a script as a frontman, or at least to have a few like banter points, if that makes sense.
Yeah, knowing your points, like your bullet points, knowing things to say, having ammunition that you can throw. But it's like, sometimes it might be throwing a circle in a square hole. If you're like, I'm going to... this is where I'm going to whip out this song, or like this description of a song. And it just, sometimes it just, it'll fall flat. But I think that does come with doing it a lot, because I think some people do say, okay, there's a certain move, there's a certain drop in a song. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Like, and it might've been the first ever time you've done this song, and there's a wall of death that you're going to create at a certain point. And it might have come off the first time you ever did it, but it doesn't mean that every single time it's going to be that exact thing. It's just reading the room and being natural with it. realize people are clearly there, and if they're watching, they want to have a good time. But sometimes it's a good time is a, it's a different thing each time.
Yeah, no, of course. No, I appreciate what you say about like having the talking point, you know, the bullets, so that you can kind of know no matter what happens, I have something to fall back on.
Yeah, that's it. No one likes dead air. So you gotta have something.
So, but how do you counterbalance that, right? Because like, I feel like, especially when you're sort of a, you know, this isn't so much the case for you anymore, but you know, when you're like a local band, you know, who hasn't really sort of gone beyond your city, really nobody wants to hear you talk. Yeah. You know, and like, and I feel like even Raptors, where you're at now, could be in a situation where I don't know how much people are expecting stage banter. Do you know what I mean? How do you find that balance? How do you find like when you should be talking?
I think it's like, be human about it. Be having fun. If you're not enjoying it, or if something's awkward, because that does happen. I mean, it's happened. We've supported, I'm not going to drop any names, but we've supported some big bands, and their fans are not traditionally like people that would normally listen to us. It would have been some strange parents, because we've been hard to go by. But some things fall on deaf ears. But I think if you know it's fallen on deaf ears, don't be awkward about it. Like, that makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, because like, if you can laugh at yourself, then you're absolutely bulletproof. Because if someone didn't like a joke or something that you've just said, that's one strike. And if you can laugh it off, then half the people in the room will probably laugh with you for being making it funny. But if you're just awkward about it, then it's going to give like so much more ammunition of people just to dislike. So yeah, I've definitely dropped some clangers and being like, oh shit, well that went down like a lead balloon. And then no one's got anything on you. They'll either laugh with you or be like, this guy's a fucking idiot. And either way, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, no. And that level of bravery is pretty pretty crazy and weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've done this tour. You put out this record. You know, this has kind of been the culmination of the last couple years of work, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What do you kind of feel is next?
We've got the fever now for being on the road. And I think there's more miles to come. There's more places, there's more countries to visit. And we've got so much ammunition, we got so many in the barrel now that I think it's going to be tour for the foreseeable. All the while we are writing, the next lot is underway already. I think it's just good to kind of keep alert, keep sharp with writing. I do think we've just got, there's so many miles left to really kind of get the word out. It'd be great to kind of do some co-headline tours and to do some support tours, and just get further afield. I like meeting people. We've established this in the last couple of weeks. I think there's an army still to build.
Sure, that's a good way to do it. To put it rather, when you say it's an there's an army still to build. How do you build your army?
I think it's genuinely, it feels more like a giant friendship base. That's going to sound corny as hell, but I don't care. It is genuinely like meeting people with the absolute same temperaments and the same people that are connecting with your music. And I think building our community that we are, it feels like an army, like a family. And that just kind of goes, not necessarily further, it feels very, very gratifying. Obviously, there's things that you can achieve from just getting numbers and getting streams and whatnot, but I think the long game is actually building some loyalty and actually like having a community that you can actually give back to, where we're not just putting just content out for people. It's actually having something that where there is a back and a forth, and it definitely feels like something that's kind of happening right now and something that we definitely want to harness. And there's no better way of doing that than hitting the road, obviously combining it with releasing and having more online stuff as well. But there's something very primal and great about actually getting out there and meeting people. And I think in the times that we're in and the times that we've had, it seems to resonate like a lot more. It could feel like a whole lot of warmth from people coming to the shows. And we made extra hours in our days in this tour to like spend time with people, having photos with people. And it, like people like wanting to buy pieces of merch and CDs and vinyls just to have them signed so they can physically be there. I think like really kind of getting with this time of people have been fucking through the wars like mentally the last couple of years, and
yeah,
they're kind of feeling normal again now. The amount of like hours we've spent kind of talking to people about their how they've been dealing with everything without live music. And yeah, it's obviously sad to hear that people felt like that, but the fact that they are coming alive again now and you can see it is a really kind of great thing to be a part of, and to kind of help people in that way is just absolutely amazing feeling. And yeah, we want to do that a lot more.
No, and it's a cool thing to be a part of. It's cool to be like, you know, to realize that something you did benefited the people around you.
Yeah.
Even if it's something kind of silly, like making a rock record.
That's it. It's absolutely insane to know, like, especially when people are saying, oh, I heard this song, I've seen this video, and it really helped me through a certain time. It's like so good. Like that is why we do it. That is why we write some of those songs. Those songs are literally cathartic to us. And it's about like that release of everything that we felt, and the fact that that's helping other people release the crap that they're feeling is, yeah, it's an amazing thing to kind of hear that it's helping. Doing that on a larger scale with further afield is definitely where we're heading for.
Yeah. So with the impact of Living Without Death's Permission in the UK, like, because obviously, you know, like I have numbers and stuff, but I don't really know, I guess we don't really know on like a cultural level how it impacted, you know, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
How do you view sort of the impact within the English rock underground?
It's hard to kind of see it when you're in the midst of it, but it's kind of a bit almost like overwhelming with the amount of DMs and everything that we've been receiving, and the fact that there's like people from like the far reaches getting in touch. And on a personal level, it's people I've not seen or spoken to for like years and years and years. And they're like, you were on the radio. I saw you at like this festival. I was in the crowd. And
yeah,
that's not from, they're not people that I like have had on social media or anything. Like I had a complete kind of rehaul with social media not so long ago. And yeah, these people are kind of like have sought out and found, and yeah, hearing that it's reaching people from what felt like a past life. And yeah, people are getting in touch with us from hearing it from completely different sources, and some sources that we are completely unaware of. Is a crazy, crazy kind of feeling. And yeah, it's kind of gratifying because there's people that we really, really kind of respect that have kind of got in touch as well. And getting a thumbs up from people in bands that I grew up listening to.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we had Ian from Kasabian was bigging us up.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, which is absolutely awesome. We actually went for a drink with Ian, which is cool. He's a legend, by the way. But yeah, that kind of thing, that's people that, you know, in your circle, and when you're kind of playing like local shows, I absolutely love that like friends do this, but they'll gas you up, I think, regardless. But like when you're getting people that from other worlds getting in touch, I'm like, you didn't have to come and say that, and that shows some impact. So it's a really nice feeling.
That's awesome. That's just so cool to hear that it like something happened and now you sort of turn the dial and you're into whatever this next piece is.
Yeah, I'm too superstitious to say too much, but yeah, it's definitely a gratifying feeling. Don't rest on things too much. I always like kind of take it and then it's on to the next. But it is nice after so much graft and so much kind of I mean, it's a surreality, really, of everything for the last couple of years.
Because you're like a pandemic band in a lot of ways. Like, you kind of came up, because you formed like late 2019, right?
Yeah, the single that really like put us on the map was dropped in the middle of the pandemic. So it's all been very surreal. And obviously things that would have probably been done over a table, over a drink, like meetings that we'd have probably had, the fact that they were all over Zoom and over over email, everything kind of did feel very surreal for a long time. So even like when pen was meeting paper and when the album was done, it all still felt very, very surreal. Like, is this a fever dream? Have I been sleeping this whole time? Or like, am I gonna get slap and wake up and realize that it was we're still in the pandemic? But like, now it's feeling kind of real. So it's nice to kind of take that little second of like, okay, stick, this is reality now. And then we move. Now we continue. Yeah.
Very good. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I didn't want to make this episode too long, but I really appreciate you kind of getting in to what it was like to reach that next level. Thank you, Simon.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, dude. Thank you for your time. And it's always a pleasure.
Of course. Catch us next week. Not with Simon, but with someone else cool.
All right. So that was awesome. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening to Delirious Nomads, sponsored by Blacklight Media. We will be coming back at you next week with another awesome guest. Be sure to follow Blacklight Media on socials for new music and more, and above all, keep it heavy.
Hello out there!
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Mo, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask? Good morning.
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.